Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Our Wednesday show is live. Glad to have you with us. A reminder, we do this program each weekday at 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Are we going to get some weather today? Are we going to get some ice today? I just saw before we went on the air that maybe the ice warning that Southern and maybe some of Central Kentucky is going to be moved up a little bit, like Northern Kentucky now, and maybe could become even further to the north than what they initially expected. So we'll be on edge with that today. Busy week for high school sports. Busy night for IU tonight as well. I know ADs across the area hoping things don't get canceled and postponed. It's already been crazy enough this season trying to juggle everything. But glad to have you with us today. Indiana plays this evening. That's been on the schedule since the get-go. The one change is when the Big Ten made some schedule adjustments for this week earlier in the week. The IU game now begins early, a 5:30 tip-off today, which means that pregame coverage here on the Big X with Don Fisher, including his pregame chat with Archie Miller, it begins in the 4:30 p.m. hour. So things get going early this afternoon from an IU basketball perspective, and the Hoosiers with really a must-win game against Northwestern. I say this, if it's not a top 2-3-4 team in the conference, not the top tier of Big Ten Conference teams in Indiana, albeit on the road, they've got to go to Evanston and get a win tonight to continue to march forward in progress to the NCAA tournament. And it's interesting for this Indiana team because it's not happened all the time. They've not won a ton of big games this season, but they have beaten Iowa twice, and they seem to have letdowns after some of their better wins, even going back to non-conference play. And so I think today, not only do they need a win, but can they play through things and keep the momentum going coming off a win like Iowa on Sunday? So that stuff we'll talk about today, but let's quickly go through the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a moment. We'll have our Zaxby's, correction on that, we'll have Brandon Hoffman, the coach of Silver Creek, with us here in just a few moments instead of our headlines here in this opening segment. Coach Hoffman's team coming off a big win on Tuesday night. We had the call here on the Big X, and Silver Creek goes to Floyd Central, comes up with a big win in the middle of the week, and we'll talk with Coach Hoffman here in just a moment. Also, later in the program, we'll talk IU basketball today with Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier. He's with us Wednesdays, and of course, we'll get ready for the Northwestern matchup tonight. And then later in the program, as always on Wednesdays, Josh Cook. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He'll join us for a chat on some local stuff, and there's plenty to talk about. Girls regionals coming up this weekend. The basketball season is flying by. We'll be talking about pairings for the boys tournament coming up very soon. And Josh Cook will be with us today to talk about all of that and more in his weekly segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. That's the show lineup. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek is with us right now here on the Hoosier Report for this Wednesday. Coach Hoffman, a big Tuesday night win for your ball club. You go to Floyd Central. You beat a very solid Floyd Central team, 68-59 on Tuesday night. And I said this during the broadcast last night, not a conference game for either team. You're not going to meet potentially again in the sectional, but it's a midseason game that can propel the winner to a final 2-3 weeks of regular season play. And you came up with a victory last night, and I know you're hoping that type of play continues the rest of the way.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. You know, Floyd Central has been a really good program here in the last, you know, since Coach Sturgis has been there. And, you know, kind of been parallel in success in terms of regular season wins. And, you know, they won their sectional last year as we did. And I think they got a really good chance this year. So really good matchup to kind of see where we are. And, you know, we had a little break in terms of playing each other, but, you know, we got back together last year, and the last two games have been really, really fun.
Yeah, you won a year ago by a point last night by a score of 68-59. Trey Kaufman had a big night. There's no surprise with that. But before we even talk about him, I want to bring up Brandon Northern. Not even sure that you planned to start him yesterday, but as the day went on, he ultimately gets the start. And not only did he start, I think he scored your first 7 points last night coming back from an arm injury, and he went on to have a very nice performance all the way around last night for your team. He's somebody that as the tournament approaches just around the corner, I know you're glad to have him back handling the basketball.
Yeah, you know, we found out Monday Brandon went for his follow-up on his hand, and they said everything checked out good, and the fracture was healed. And we were kind of at the point to where, well, let's get a couple practices in. And, you know, cause he's still sore, still really sore. And, you know, Tuesday morning, he's like, hey, I want to give it a go. Let's see what it's like in warmups. And, you know, he said, yeah. So anytime we get a chance to play him, we're going to play him. And he was really tough out there. Like you said, started off strong. And just having the ball in his hands, you know, he's had the ball in his hands for us the last 2 years predominantly. And, you know, having him back, your point guard back, it's any coach would tell you, it just boosts your offense.
He's always strong with the ball. He's talking a lot, communicating to his teammates. He's pointing. He's looking at you for directions on offenses and plays. Just seems like a very confident player, especially for a guy that's still got some high school basketball ahead of him after this season.
Exactly. And, you know, the majority of coaches will tell you the point guard's the most important player. You know, we've got some stud forwards, we know. But, you know, the ball is in the hands of the point guard the most. And, you know, he dictates our offense. You know, like you said, he's a great communicator. He's kind of like another coach on the floor. So having him back has just been really nice for us because, you know, we were kind of point guard by committee when he was out. And, you know, we're just, you know, having him back is, you know, hopefully for the duration of the season and the tournament it's going to be so huge for us because he's, you know, he's a Division I player. I mean, he's got offers and he's getting recruited and, you know, it's not like he's a, you know, just a normal point guard either. He's a stud for us.
Talking with Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman, the Dragons winners at Floyd Central last night, a game we broadcasted here on the Big X. Trey Kaufman-Wren was very dominant at times. He finished with a game-high 25 points. But, you know, it's what we expect, and I know it's you don't want to take him for granted, obviously, and the big outputs that he has and all that he does for your team, but he just is so dominant out there. His body continues to change, continues to get more ready for Division I basketball and for the grueling Big Ten Conference, and I thought he showed that last night. But 25 points, he's solid once again, and I'm not sure what else we can say about Trey Kaufman. He's just that good, and he seems to do it on such a consistent basis for your team.
You're right. You're right, man. And just imagine what would it be if he got single coverage, like if he was guarded one-on-one. You know, Floyd Central's zone has been, you know, just remarkable the last couple of years. And they got some big dudes, some good defenders. You know, and he's, you know, last year had a big game against them. And they, you know, when he gets it, this is collapsing around him. And, you know, he had 25 points on 14 shots. So it's not like he's, you know, like a high volume shooter to get those 25. Like he's really efficient. He picked the spots in the perimeter, drove it, and, you know, posted up and got really dominant inside on the rebounds, offensive rebounds the second half. And, you know, and other guys capitalize as well. And a lot, you know, Trey makes the right play in the majority of the time as well. He gets, you know, double or triple teamed or the zone just packs it in on him. There's going to be opportunities for other guys to make shots. And, you know, Isaac Kenton had three big threes in the second half. Trey Shane hit a big one in the first half. Hayden Garten hit a big one in the first half as well. So, you know, Trey's he's just such a smart basketball player. He's just, like you said, we take him for granted And you know, he's always making the right play. Like you mentioned, his body is just developing more and more to getting ready for Big Ten play. And it's just crazy that he's a great player, but I still don't think, you know, he's reached his ceiling yet. And man, I'm going to hold on to him as long as I can, hoping for 12 more games, but daggone, he's just a man among boys out there.
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek joining us here on this Wednesday program. You know, the tournament time's coming up. There's still some regular season left, and we'll talk about what's ahead for the Dragons in just a moment. But sometime when you get to the tournament and you know your 1, 2, and 3 are outstanding, Division I players, proven leaders, everything you could ask for. But sometime when you get to tournament play and you advance and you get into some of the really tough matchups and things get tense and tight, it's your 4 and 5 and maybe even 6 guys that come in and help you win a ball game or help you get through a tough stretch. And you mentioned Isaac Hinton. He had a tremendous game last night for the Dragons and showed that, you know, he's not – I've probably made a mistake of calling him and some of your other players role players at times, and I guess technically they fit that term, but he's more than that, and he showed that again last night that he can step up as well and hit some big shots. And in that fourth quarter, in some ways, he was really the difference as you guys started to put some space between you and the Highlanders.
Yeah, I mean, we were going punch for punch there. You know, it was a 2-point game, 3-point game, 1-point game. And then Isaac had a stretch. He scored 7 in a row, had back-to-back threes and then an offensive rebound. So you're right. I mean, Matt, Trey and Cooper command so much attention. There's going to be opportunities for their teammates to do well. And, you know, we mentioned role players. You can say, you know, you can use any terminology you want, but I just think those guys are great teammates. And, you know, being a good teammate is taking advantages of the opportunities you have and what the team needs you to do. And, you know, it's not like we're surrounding Trey and Cooper and Brandon with guys that can't play. You know, any other, you know, normal year in Silver Creek history, these guys would be, you know, averaging double figures and our best players. So Isaac and Trey and Nolan and, you know, Hayden and those other guys that come in off the bench, it's just great opportunities for them, and I have full confidence in them.
Coach, you're ranked in the coaches poll, the 3A Associated Press poll as well, 13-4 on the season. And looking ahead, I thought, you know, after Silver Creek gets past the Floyd Central game, it's a fairly normal schedule. You've got a couple conference opponents, and you've got Seymour in there to close the season. But it looked like a fairly normal schedule. But when you had an opening, you added somebody, and you went searching for a good opponent, and you found Plainfield from up on the west side of Indianapolis. It's going to come down to Sellersburg, your second-to-last game on February 20th. They are a really good 4A basketball club, and they are ranked in their respective top 10 poll as well. So you, like the Silver Creek girls, we were talking with Coach Shane earlier this week. We've got him on our girls' regional program coming up later this week. You have went out, and in this wild year, you already had buffed up your schedule over the last 3-4 seasons, but you've done so even more this season, going out finding a Plainfield for kind of a last-minute replacement.
Yeah, you know, Matt, probably 6 years ago, we decided to, you know, scrap carrying what our regular season record was and try to just make our team better for the tournament. And you play against good teams and great coaches, you find out what your weaknesses are, what you need to work on. And Coach Weaver does an excellent job up at Plainfield. And when we had a spot open on our schedule, you know, they were, thankfully, they were willing to play us. And what are they, 15-1, 16-1, they're playing really well. They got some size and athleticism, and I would think they're favored to win their sectional. So it's going to be a great game. Hopefully things keep trending in the direction where we can stay orange or maybe yellow and have a good crowd. You know, last night actually felt like a basketball game with the band playing and, you know, crowd reacting, you know, after every bucket. And if we can get to that, you know, by the time Plainfield comes down, it'll be a great atmosphere.
Yeah, no question.
It's just going to be, it's going to be a great game. And like you said, we got some big conference games coming up to finish our conference season. And then we got Plainfield and Seymour, who I think Kirk Mance is, you know, one of the best coaches around. And our goal here the next 6 games is to get in the rhythm. you know, hopefully, knock on wood, we're kind of over the injury stuff. You know, we've only had like 3 or 4 games where we've had our 5 starters playing together. So can we get in the rhythm? Can we get going, everybody full steam for March?
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek. Coach, real quick before we let you go, the football team was great, won a Mid-Southern Conference championship. We know what your basketball program has accomplished and hopes to do again this season. But how about the girls? They not only beat Salem on Saturday, but did so in a convincing way. And now they've got some challenges ahead of them this week. But this Silver Creek girls team, everyone keeping an eye on them, ranked number 1 in 3A with a chance to make a run here. I know fun times. You're busy with your own program, your own deal, but you're keeping a close eye, I know, on what Coach Shane's team's doing as well.
Yeah, well, you know how close Scotty and I are. I mean, we teach together. You know, we hang out together. We're best buddies. So, we go to a lot of their games. My daughter's in the girls program. So it's just an awesome thing. You know, awesome thing. We've had a couple heartbreakers the last couple of years, and be able to, you know, win last weekend. And daggone, we got some talented girls and some athletic girls. It's crazy because I'm at the girls sectional final and the girls win. And one of the girls basketball parents comes up and says, "Hey, I really hope you guys can get your season turned around and get things going." I was like, "Man, what kind of monster have we created here?" But I'm really thrilled, obviously, for Scotty and the girls program and those girls. I get to see the time that they're in the gym. You know, the times they come in on their own and all the times that they stay after practice and shoot, you know, also get to watch their practice. So I'm just really thrilled for them.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman, coach at Silver Creek. Big win last night for the Dragons over Floyd Central. Coach, thanks for the chat today. Best of luck the rest of the way.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, Brandon Hoffman with us to kickstart this Wednesday edition of our show. We'll head to a commercial break, come back, and turn the attention to IU. They play at Northwestern, an early game this evening, 5:30 tip-off, 4:30 pregame coverage here on the Big X. And speaking of high school basketball and recruiting, Indiana has offered another player in the 2022 class from DeMatha Catholic High School in Maryland. That's one of the powerhouse high school programs of all time. Small forward Tyrell Ward, the latest player that Indiana has offered in that 2022 class on Sunday. That offer came from Indiana just before C.J. Gunn of Lawrence North committed to the program. And now Rodney Rice and Tyrell Ward, both players from DeMatha in that 2022 class that Indiana is recruiting very heavily. So we'll keep an eye on this DeMatha team the rest of the way as well. We'll be back with more. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier with us as we talk IU basketball in advance of the Northwestern game today. An early start, Dustin, 5:30 and 4:30 pregame coverage here on the Big X. We've complained, I guess, enough about these 9 o'clock tip-offs during the week that now we've got one that's almost before people get home from work. So maybe next time it'll land somewhere in the center of 5:30 and 9 o'clock. But nonetheless, no matter what time the game tips, it's a big one, as every Big Ten game is this season. And for this Indiana team that is fighting for the NCAA tournament and trying to continue building their resume a bit, they need to win this game against Northwestern, who's not in the top tier of the Big Ten Conference. Doesn't matter if it's on the road or not. This is one Indiana has to get.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they have to prove, I think, really to the committee and to everybody else that they can win some games after they win big games. So basically, I mean, number one, they've got to prove they can win on the road. Number two, they've got to just get some more Big Ten wins. But they've also, you know, obviously they win a game against a ranked team and they generally lose after that. They've had a hard time just stringing wins together, especially when they get big ones, and that's traditionally over the last couple of years. So, they need to prove this. I mean, they've obviously managed to figure out Iowa, and Iowa is a pretty specific team in terms of how they play and what you have to do to beat them, and they've been able to figure that out, but they need to prove that they can, you know, beat some other people. They've already lost once Northwestern at home. I mean, so for all the reasons, it's an extremely important game. I mean, they've got to get some level of momentum if they keep building their case. And right now, you know, they're on the better side of the bubble right now after the last Iowa win, but they've got to keep winning basketball games, as many as they can, and build up as big of a resume as they can. And they can't afford not even just bad losses, but even mediocre losses like this. I mean, this wouldn't be a killer, but all the same, it's really a game you can't afford to lose. But it is a game they can lose. There is talent on this Northwestern team.
Dustin, let's talk about Northwestern here for a moment. First, as a team, they are 6-10 overall. They're 3-9 in Big Ten play, and they have lost 9 straight games. Now, I'm not sure that I had detailed thoughts on exactly what this Northwestern team was going to be when we were previewing the Big Ten Conference back in the fall and before the season began, but the way this team started conference play, it looked like they might be the surprise team in the Big Ten. They might be somewhere at worst in the middle of the pack, but things have really went off the rails for Northwestern, which just underscores everything you and I just said, why Indiana really needs to pick this one up tonight.
No, absolutely. I mean, just again, the struggles that they've had, you can't afford to be the team that lets Northwestern get up. Indiana can't afford to be that team. I mean, they're going to get somebody at some point. I don't think they'll go the rest of the season without another Big Ten win, but Indiana can't afford to be that team, that's for sure. And I mean, I haven't got a chance to watch a whole lot of them since that Indiana game, and it is surprising. I mean, they've got players, they've got guys who can put the ball in the bucket, but who just seem to have faded off. I mean, I think there have been some injuries involved. They might have had some COVID issues, but I know, I mean, I remember Boo Booey, who was just spectacular early, and struggled and kind of went through it. And I'm blanking on the name of the guy who just went off against Indiana, but I feel like I haven't heard his name very much. Miller Kopp and Pete Nance, both guys that can beat you in a lot of different ways. They've got a lot of, you know, sort of varying shooters that are just, you know, difficult to deal with, but it doesn't seem like it's gotten together for any of them in the last month and a half.
Dustin Dopierak of the Daily Hoosier, my guest. You can read his coverage at thedailyhoosier.com of all things IU basketball. Dustin, you know, Indiana's had some wins that stand out this season. Not a ton of them, but the Iowa game, both the Iowa games, definitely two of the best wins this team has had this season, non-conference or in conference play. I don't think there's any question about that. But when Indiana does do something well or has a big win, there doesn't seem to be consistency. They don't seem to build on momentum or build on victories. There always seems to be a flub-up of some kind the very next game, and fans lose confidence, and I'm sure ultimately that players do as well when things don't continue to go well and you don't perform maybe how you did the last time out. Can Indiana come out tonight and start to build some consistency that we are a pretty good team, we can play with just about anybody in the Big Ten Conference, and now we're going to show that on a regular basis? It doesn't mean they have to win every game the rest of the way. They can't have some mistakes here and mistakes there, but I think fans are yearning for some sort of consistency from this team that when they come out, generally, here are some things Indiana's going to do well, and maybe here's one or two things that we kind of struggle with. But I get the sense from fans, for what it's worth, that that's really what they want to see from this team and really this program moving forward the rest of the way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think they want to believe that there's something they can trust in, and that's the tough part about it is they. It seems more to me that the great performances are more of the exception than the shaky ones are, because there are just flaws to this team when it comes down to it. I mean, they have, you know, one pretty darn good guard, one All-American center, and, you know, and a really good glue guy in Race Thompson, and everything else, you're kind of not sure what you're going to get from game to game. I mean, Al Durham, I think, has played solid basketball for who he is, but he's just not physically a guy that can overwhelm people. Rob Sinisi has not been consistent. It's not certainly been the player that you would expect that he would have been by now. You could say the same thing for Jerome Hunter. It's just when a couple things come together, they can get it all right. But it's just been tough for that. And part of it is they're not consistent because they're just not really that good collectively compared to the rest of the league. I mean, a lot of things have to go right for them to win a game against some of the better teams they play. And again, they've figured some things out. They care about defense. They don't quit, at least. You got to give them credit for having some, fortitude, I guess is the best way to put it. But just for sheer skill and talent and whatever, they're just not in the top half of the league right now. So that makes it tough for them to win games. It's that simple. But they do have to I think fans would be excited if they could see this. All right, they're playing just as well from, this game to that game. And it's not based on luck. Now, that, I think, would just be a big step for them if they could string really good performances together. It would mean a lot for them from a tournament resume standpoint and from, like you said, from basically bringing the fans in standpoint, because I don't think they trust this team, and I totally understand why.
Dustin, when it comes to bench play for this Indiana team, really Archie Miller's options are all freshmen for the most part, and we've seen Christian Lander makes some real positive strides, I feel, in recent games over the last week and a half or so. We've seen at times the freshmen together on the floor, which is interesting, and they've actually held their own. What's your take on this freshman group? I'm curious, what do you think they can do to help Indiana the rest of the way, and how do you grade or score this freshman group at this part of the season as you look to the future for what they could be at Indiana, maybe in year two or even year three?
Yeah, no, great question. I mean, I think it's been fascinating to watch them grow up. I think one thing Archie Miller said on his radio show Monday night that really stuck out to me that I think really encapsulates it is they're not afraid. And that, I think, goes a long way because they're not doing everything right out there. I mean, like, you can tell, like, when you put all four of the freshmen out there, it's not perfect symbiosis out there. They don't know exactly where they're supposed to be. So Jordan Geronimo, frequently, you can see his mind is racing 1,000 miles a minute when he's out there. But you know what? He moves. If he makes a mistake, he doesn't dwell on it and think, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that wrong. He just gets back into a better position. There's a lot of times we're watching, like, you missed that rotation. You weren't where you're supposed to be there. But you know what? He keeps after it. He keeps being active, and they make up for their mistakes with energy. And so I think that says a lot about them. And there's been, I think, a different progression with each of them. I think Geronimo kind of went in knowing what he didn't know, in the sense of realizing he was as lost as he is. Christian Lander, I think, was surprised by it. I think Christian Lander was surprised that he was as behind as he was when the season started, because he's used to being the guy who's two steps ahead of everybody, and being behind, I think, has been a real adjustment for him. Galloway, I think Galloway is obviously an exception to that, because Galloway is just, he's a coach's kid, he's a super intelligent player, and he got on the floor because he was the most with it together, understanding player out of them. And Leo, I think, just has some really good pieces to him, shoots it well and does the same thing, makes up for his mistakes with energy. And I think they're giving the whole group some confidence when they go out there and there's four of them. And there is a message being sent at that point to the upperclassmen, like, hey, these guys are whipping your butts a little bit, and you should watch them. You guys stop getting in your own heads when you miss shots. Watch what these guys do. They just keep playing. And they do. So you got to give them a lot of credit for that. Especially when they've been thrown in those situations where it's like, sink or swim, we need you guys to go figure it out. And they have. Each of them individually, like I said, has made some, I think, in important strides. Lander's playing so much better than he was even 2-3 weeks ago. Just seems so much more confident with the ball. Even when he's still not making a ton of shots, but he's at least making some. For a while, he was just totally lost as to where the bucket even was. He wasn't coming close to anything. Now everything he puts up there is at least close. And he's hitting a couple, and everyone he hits, you can tell he gets a big boost of confidence from. But, man, he does, I think, as Archie Miller said, have a different gear with the ball in his hand. So he provides a different element than Finisterre Durham do. And when they couldn't put him out there defensively, that, I think, cost them something. That lessened them as a team. Now you can put him out there, and he can really create some things. He can force defenders to collapse on him in the middle, and he finds guys. He's had some really pretty passes the last couple of games. So you're starting to see why was this kid a five-star? Why did he reclass? This is why. And I think there is, for as tough of a season it's been on him, I think you are starting to see that it probably is, it is ultimately worth it that he's getting this experience. Leo, I think, has grown up a lot, since he's got some more opportunities, since Galloway and Franklin both got hurt. They've been able to put Leo in there and trust him, and he can hit some big shots. He's really active on defense. He's a good defender. Had some key steals, good passes in the Iowa game. Been really important, and again, Geronimo just has so much raw talent. and is a kid that just gets after it, not afraid to get physical. And again, the fact that he's still processing where he's supposed to be all the time, he's at least working on it. You can tell he gets better every time. And he plays through it. He plays through mistakes, and he's got a lot of raw ability. And again, Galloway is just sturdy. I mean, I think he's going to be a glue guy for a long time, too, because he just always seems to make the right play. Not making a ton of shots, obviously, but does a lot of good things for them.
Dustin Dopierak, he's now with the Daily Hoosier, and you can read all sorts of IU basketball coverage from him at thedailyhoosier.com. Dustin, you had a great story with C.J. Gunn's coach at Lawrence North, who's a legend in our state, Jack Kiefer. And it was interesting to hear his take on C.J. Gunn, his development as a player, and ultimately what he believes he could be at Indiana and the Big Ten, because Coach Kiefer has had so many great players, including a number of guys that have went on to the NBA. I mean, Greg Oden and Mike Conley are the most recent guys that are NBA players. We all know the dominance that they had in our state. But preview that story. Again, it's at thedailyhoosier.com, but I thought a really good take on C.J. Gunn and maybe what he could be down the line.
Yeah, no, exactly. I thought it was a lot of things that Jack had to say were interesting. And, of course, when you're talking with Jack Kiefer, you're talking one of, like you said, one of the great basketball minds out there. But, no, I mean, I think, you know, what he said about C.J. was that, you know, he could score a lot more points. And because there's so much talent on that Lawrence North team, I mean, he's not hogging the ball. He's taking his opportunities when they're there. And he is functioning as a two guard, so he's not like running the offense or anything. But he is willing to move the ball to find the open guy. And he's not trying to hog shots or anything like that. But when he gets them, he can score in every way he can. He can hit the three. And he just said, you know, Jack just talked a lot about his first step, how quick he can blow by you. And it's one dribble, two dribbles. I mean, he's at the perimeter, and then he's at the rim. He's a big, long guy, obviously 6'5", you know, big, rangy kid, you know, big, pretty big wingspan. But, you know, good two-guard handle. Needs to get it to be a one-guard handle, but good two-guard handle that, you know, can take that straight-line drive, you know, get one step by you, and he's gone. And, you know, you see a lot of that on this film. It's also said, you know, he's a capable defender that cares about it, always wants the opponent's best scorer, and, you know, asked for that assignment, rebounds well for his position. And so basically just said that he's everything you want in a two guard. You want him to have a little bit more, want him to be a little more of a combo guy, get a little bit better as far as decision making is concerned. He said he thinks CJ sometimes he gets the ball in his hand, he knows what he wants to do with it, he decides right then. And he doesn't necessarily make the read and change the decision based on, you know, how the defense moves, basically, and what shows up or doesn't show up. If he's driving, he's driving, and if he's shooting, he's shooting. So he needs to get a little bit better at that. But, you know, so he still has another year and a half left. I mean, I think he missed a lot last season, was injured. This is his first really big year, and he had a really good summer for, you know, whatever summer people had, you know, with COVID and all. But, I mean, he had a few opportunities in the summer to play in some tournaments, you know, without fans and without coaches. But, you know, was able to get some things done there that I think opened up some eyes of some coaches. So that obviously is a big reason why Indiana jumped on in the first place. I think Kiefer basically described a guy that fits a lot of what Indiana wants. And I think it's more important for Indiana to get some two guards, the guys who can score the basketball. They haven't had a lot of that, at least efficiently, at the two guard, you know, recently. I mean, Franklin being better helps, and that was a big reason why he committed. He's got a relationship with the Franklin, and that helped a lot. And so, you know, you could see those two guys coming together and playing in a backcourt, and that really helps. So it does seem like could be a really valuable piece on both ends for Indiana.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, another recruiting topic to mention is Indiana has now offered two players in the same class as Gunn, which is the 2022 class from Dematha Catholic, which you talk about high school basketball. We just had Brandon Hoffman on from Silver Creek in the first segment. You talk about some of the great programs here locally in southern Indiana and in our state. Dematha is one of the best all-time high school basketball programs ever. Amazing what they have accomplished over the years for many, many years. But two players in that class, that junior class, and Tyrell Ward is the most recently, but Rodney Rice, Indiana got involved with back, I think, in the fall as well. So interesting to see Indiana's footprint in this class expand a bit. interesting to see Indiana really offering and targeting two players from the DeMatha program. I think this 2022 class, I know a lot of people will say, you know, unsure of what Archie Miller's future looked like, and there could be some truth to that based on how this year finishes and if the team gets to the NCAA tournament. But this 2022 class, I think, is really an interesting time to see with what's available in our state and what's not, and with maybe Kenya Hunter and others getting more tied into the program and their recruiting bases. I think it'll be really an interesting class for Indiana to see where the players come from, how the coaches get it done, and ultimately what this program could look like moving forward under Archie Miller.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's a very interesting class because, I mean, you tack on to that they could be losing some guys between now and then. It is, I think, very difficult for them to figure out how to build classes right now. You know, just basically with COVID and with this year basically not counting against anybody's eligibility, you know, who stays, who goes. You know, what does that look like between now and then? It's different than what you were expecting it to be. So it's like, okay, what do you need? What do you not need? Because they've obviously gone heavy after the perimeter, as they would, I think, presumably, they'd be losing Al Durham anyway. I mean, I think Al might get an extra year for this, but you still lose him next season. And, you know, you have Finney will be getting close to the end of the line by then anyway. And so they're going to need some perimeter talent. They're going to need to be able to add some guys. And they're obviously looking to do it, you know, not just at the two, but at the three. You know, basically the two guys at the math, you know, Rodney's Rice is more of a 1-2 type of guy. He can handle. They're having him play a lot more point guard this year. He's learning how to do that. He's used to, as I understand it, having this huge green light at his previous school, at the Bolo School in Maryland. He's, you know, basically at the math that he's being asked to spread the ball around a little bit more, obviously, because there's always going to be a lot of talent there, and just getting used to having that much talent on his team and on the opposite team. So that's something that he's getting used to and learning how to play the game. But Tyrell Ward, I think, is an interesting character, an interesting guy that they're looking into. More of a three-ish sort of wing, long-armed guy who cares about defense, can shoot the basketball, more of a 3-and-D type. But that's, you know, those are some good pieces for them. Get guys that can shoot the ball from outside and can really defend. I mean, that's something that I think really fit into, you know, pack line defense and that idea. But also they need to be able to finally be a good shooting team and to target guys who, you know, list shooting the ball as one of their biggest skills, something they've struggled with throughout the Archie Miller era. So I think those all things are important. I think, you know, as you mentioned with Kanata Hunter, that's really important. But they've maintained a foothold in the East Coast area, in the Mid-Atlantic area, the D.C. area, Philadelphia, New York. I mean, but you know, largely D.C., there's just so much talent coming out of the DMV right now and has been for decades, going back to, well, before this, but also including Victor Oladipo. That's still one of the most important recruits they've got in the last 15 years. And, you know, being willing to recruit that area was big. They kept that going when they had Kenny Johnson as well. I mean, Tom Crean always made that a priority. And, you know, Archie Miller has realized, too, like, you can't let that spot go. You have some foothold there. You have some cachet because of Oladipo that, you know, basically gets you in the door with some of those guys out of DeMatha, but also other places in the D.C. area. So that is important that they kept that going. And that's, you know, it has a chance to pay off in this class. Might not, but even if it doesn't, just keeping – you know, making sure you still got Mike Jones at DeMatha on speed, that was an important thing to have.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of the, of the Daily Hoosier, formerly of the Athletic. Glad to have you back with us, and we look forward to talking from time to time on Wednesdays about IU basketball and more. I think you're driving. I'm not sure the weather that far north is going to be shaky today like it is in this area, but please be safe, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
Sounds good. Will do. Yeah, it's not bad right now, but it looks colder up here. But thank you so much, and I can't wait to be on next week, too. Thanks.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak with us of the Daily Hoosier does a great job covering IU basketball, and always look forward to our chats here on the program. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, as we talk some local sports brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Glad that Dustin brought up Victor Oladipo and his connection to DeMatha. When I was mentioning the scholarship offers earlier, that was one of the points I wanted to make. I don't know that we can ever understand how important that connection is, having someone like Oladipo that had success at Indiana, that's one of the really great players to come out of the DeMatha program. So, again, good point there. We'll head to a break. We're back with Josh Cook. Lots to talk about. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We are back here on this Wednesday program. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me. Major League Shirt Company, they bring you this segment each week as we focus on local and high school sports, and they're the home of the $4 T-shirt, offering custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com. to find out more. Josh, we talked earlier about the big Silver Creek win over Floyd Central. That was the headline Tuesday night game in high school basketball, but some other big games as well. Rock Creek got a good one-point win over Lanesville, which could be a preview of that 1A sectional, and Jeffersonville cruised to a victory over Seymour last night.
Yeah, a couple of big wins there. You know, Rock Creek and Lanesville, that could definitely be a preview of, you know, a sectional matchup. And you know, that sectional is wide open in my estimation anyway. You know, both those teams will be in the mix. You know, Borden, New Wash, and then New Wash last night got a huge performance from Matthew Arthur, hit 10 three-pointers. Wow. And scored 31 points in a big victory over Shaw Memorial. So you know, New Wash will be in that mix too. So yeah, it'll be that section, I think, will be very competitive. It should be, you know, should be really good.
Josh, speaking of sectionals, the girls' tournament continues. We're headed to the regional round this weekend. We have two local teams left, Silver Creek and Lanesville. Silver Creek, I think, has a good opportunity to find success this weekend. It's not going to be easy, especially that opening game for them against Evansville Memorial. They are ranked, and they are very good, a quality girls' basketball team, it seems, year in and year out. For Lanesville in 1A, my goodness, that is a tough 1A sectional at Springs Valley. Lots of really good teams feeding into that same regional. Your overall thoughts on this week's girls' tournament and regional play for some of our locals?
Yeah, Silver Creek, I would definitely say they're the favorite in their regional, but yeah, it's going to be really competitive. Evansville Memorial, as you mentioned, has been ranked, I think, most of the year and is really good. So that'll be a big game to start off with for them. And then if they can get past that one, you know, the championship game, I would expect them to win. You know, and then the good thing is they're playing at Charlestown, so it's close by. And then, you know, if they win that regional, they might be playing the semi-state at Jeff. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But that's a possibility. So that would be nice for them just to stay close to home during all this. But, yeah, the Lanesville regional, man, I think it's like a Final Four. You got like four of the top five teams in the state, I think, the rankings-wise. So that's going to be a heck of a regional for sure. Tecumseh, I think, is a good – is a big team to watch in that. They've got they beat Lanesville earlier in the year, and you know, they've played a tough schedule, so it's going to be a tough road for Lanesville. We'll see if they can do it, but man, whew, what a regional. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, no question, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Jeffersonville and Jasper, they are the two southern hosts, so winners of this week's regional will find out late Saturday night or Sunday morning their game time, and also, most importantly, what location they are assigned to. But there'll be some really good basketball this weekend at Charlestown at the regional level, and then Jeffersonville at the semi-state level. There have been some tremendous games there in recent years since Jeff has been a host of the girls' semi-state, so that will be fun to keep some local hoops, no matter who's still alive and who's assigned to that regional right here in our backyard. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is my guest. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. I don't know if you know anything about this or not. I've had people ask me about it, but Sean East has not been playing for Bradley. Now, he was starting and had some really good performances. I think he's still the team's leading person in the assist category, but the last two games or so, he's not started, and he's not seen any minutes. And I finally saw an announcement on Bradley's men's basketball social media that it was a coach's decision he was out was the first word I saw, and then later that he would miss this past weekend's games because of some health concerns, but they noted it was not COVID-19 or anything associated with that. I think it was actually said medical concerns or medical issues. Any thoughts on that? A lot of people have been real proud of Sean, and a lot of local guys here that are having some good years at the Division I level, but he's not had any ticks lately.
Yeah, he leads the team with 4 assists a game and averaging, 8.4 points and 3.3 rebounds. Yeah, he just says medical issues. So, yeah, it's kind of odd, but, you don't know, as you mentioned during these times, what it is. But, he's having a really good first year there, along with all kinds of local players are playing really well. Josh Jefferson, especially, is one who's having a really good year for Green Bay. And Trey Coleman, again, he plays out there in Nevada. They play late, but he's had a good run out there so far. So, and then we got some more to look forward to next year with Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby and Jake Heitbreeder. They gave us a taste of that last night, I guess, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And, this is a conversation to have later on, and I've talked to some coaches recently and others that are involved in basketball here in our area, but you just named some great players, and we talk about them a lot. You write about them a lot. And there's don't get me wrong, there's some really good juniors in this area, but I'm still kind of waiting for the sophomore and freshman classes. We have some ideas on who it could be, but who's going to step up and be that next great class or next great generation of players? One of the great things about our area, as Romeo came through and others, you could look behind them and say, man, this area is going to be stacked up for many years to come. I don't have that same confidence level right now. I think that we'll have some great players, and I think there are some guys making some noise that are youngsters out there getting some varsity opportunities or maybe still playing some JV basketball. But you do wonder what the next few years beyond Kaufman and Jacoby and Heitbreeder, and next year you can name off so many good juniors in the area as well, but you wonder what it's going to look like beyond them. Going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see because there's not, there's time for kids to develop. That's the good thing about the youngsters, like freshmen and sophomores, is they got a lot of time to develop, room to develop. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes out of that class.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, thanks for your coverage and chat today. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Have a good day.
Be back with you Thursday at 11 a.m. Don't forget our girls regional preview show at 6 o'clock Thursday as well. And weather pending, we'll be over in Louisville for Manual Mail coming up on Thursday night. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.